Welcome to Extratonal. We have left Tone Deaf because we're on CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded and ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. And I'm here, Garen Fitzgerald, with Matthew from The Other Note.
Yes, I am still here, terrorizing everyone.
Not Jazz Boulevard. not the one note. No, not the one note. It's the other note.
The other note.
Yeah. I haven't forgotten about embarrassing myself like a month ago.
It's okay. I forgive you, and I'm sure the listeners do too.
I appreciate your assuredness.
I do the best I can.
But yeah, so we were just listening to Helvetia Live from the Oliver Pellet Group, which is one of your famous little tunes there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Big time favorite of mine.
I think you play it every week, right?
Not quite.
Every other week.
Almost every other week for a while.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good tune. No, I was really digging the alternate meters there, like the 7-8 mm-hmm. in the beginning, and then goes in 6-8, and it gets all swingy and nice and smooth. And mm-hmm. and then I was like, we got to shut this thing up because I got to talk something.
I know. I mean, if we could have kept playing it, I would have been perfectly happy with that.
Yeah. But we have to do boring modern classical music now.
I mean, you're bringing me around to modern classical. I didn't know anything about it before, but over the past couple weeks, I'm like, you know what? I can see something in here.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about what you were saying a couple of combos ago, where you were like, oh, this sounds like a score to a film. And I was trying to think about, like there was a thought in the back of my head as you said that, but it only just kind of clicked. And I was like, well, like a lot of classical music is used in movies because it tells big stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think modern classical has kind of taken on the, what's the movie composer's name that I just...
John Williams?
Nah, it's the guy who did the Batman movies. As soon as I think of his name, I'll be like, that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, he started introducing like a lot of ostinatos. So like repeated rhythmic figures in all of his scores. And everyone's like, oh, that's amazing. It starts with an H, his name, I think.
Hans Zimmer.
There we go. Same time.
Once you got it, I got it too.
Yeah. And so he started introducing like these repetitive figures, which also are kind of a hallmark of like minimalist composers.
Hmm.
And they're really powerful because it's like it's this thing that you hear it and you don't really know what it is at first. And then you hear it again and again and again. And all of a sudden your brain's like, I know what that is. And then it goes into the background because your brain's like, I know what that is.
Hmm.
It's like driving through endless cornfields. At first you're like, ooh, cornfields. Oh, look, there's a mountain out there.
Yeah.
5 hours later, you're like, still there.
I'm still in Nebraska.
Yup. Oh, look, the time of day changed. Key change to the minor. Darkness. Anyway. But yeah, so like a lot of these composers I've been playing that are actually like contemporary, like tonight's album is from 2026 as well. I've noticed that they kind of tend toward that trend of having like repeated figures or, like, especially if they use synthesizer, like there's a lot of arpeggiation. There's a lot of, you can tell like programming with MIDI. And it's interesting. But what they're doing that older composers didn't do is really playing with the technology more.
Mm-hmm.
And also like the, the mixing styles and stuff like that. Like the, cause as I said with jazz, like the emphasis used to be on less compression so you could have more dynamic range. I mean, sometimes when you listen to classical music, it gets so quiet that you're like, is it on?
Straining to hear anything.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like the horns come in and the timpani starts banging and you're like, ah, so loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But again, like in a lot of the stuff I've been playing recently, there's not that amount of dynamic range.
Really?
There is still more than you get from like pop music and rock music and like techno and stuff like that. Like I think one mastering engineer was quoted as saying that a Skrillex release from like 5 years ago was the loudest thing he had ever heard, and he hadn't even touched it yet.
I can imagine.
Yeah. It's like it was just slammed. There was like maybe half a decibel of deviation throughout the entire thing from the quiet to loud parts. And it's like, that's becoming more popular with the loudness wars.
I mean, I guess the loudness wars never really ended. In some ways, the height was the 90s.
Hmm.
But ever since then, particularly with like the type of electronics people are using to listen to stuff, like the crappy earbuds that used to come with everyone's iPods, and even like a lot of the cheaper Bluetooth headphones people have, it's just like people really want a lot of bass, and that's even better when it gets really loud.
Mm-hmm.
Deafening themselves and everything. So,
oh my gosh, I've been talking to so many people at my job who come in and they're like, yeah, I listen to music on earbuds like all the time, and I keep getting ear infections. So do you have like a solution for that? And I was like, take out the dang earbuds.
Yeah.
Just take them out, man. Leave them out for a day, you know, let your ears breathe,
and also probably clean the tips. That's a combination of things.
There's a reason we don't take earbud returns.
I believe that. Yeah,
there's a reason we don't rent in-ear monitors. We rent the systems, not the earbuds. Bring
that
your own.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. But okay. So we're 6 minutes in. We got time tonight. But I think on that note, why don't we just start playing some of this music? I'll start talking about it. So I've got an album from a Quebec musician and composer named Flor Laurentian. And it's his album, his latest release, Volume 3, and I was checking him out, and he's got, like, tons of albums out there.
Hmm.
And what's interesting about this guy is, like, he does really whimsical music.
Oh, really?
Like, it's really just, like, happy, and you can see nature through it. But he uses, like, strings and piano and guitar sometimes and, like, harp and all this stuff. And tons of synthesizers.
Mm.
And it's just really interesting the kind of textures he puts together with that. Because, like, one minute, like, and it really, like, some of his stuff reminds me of Eric Satie. And, like, one minute, it's just like this kind of like chill, kind of whimsical spring afternoon. And then he's like, synths! And it goes into like a new stratosphere. It's kind of interesting. Like, having played some Wendy Carlos a couple weeks back, I was getting that vibe from some of his choices, kind of like the 50s to 60s analog synth kind of sounds, textures. But what's really nice is that I feel like he performed all the synth lines. I don't know this for sure, but I feel like he performed them because there's like idiosyncrasies in the performance. There's like quote unquote mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing goes digitally perfect.
Right.
Like he'll do like a pitch bend and it'll stick for a second. And you're like, oh, that's because he slipped on the wheel.
Yeah.
But it's human. So it sounds much better to me.
It's interesting how there's some musicians who will leave in or do things in that much more human way. Like, there was, obviously, J Dilla, a lot of his production. Do you know who J Dilla is?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, a lot of his production, the majority of his production was always done with, what was that actual? I can't even remember which machine it was. But anyways, he is very famous for the way he would use, like, the quantifier and, like, change everything.
Yeah, because he would put the beat, like, a 16th note ahead or, like, a 32nd note behind. Like, he was using the quantization in ways that people were like, is that broken?
Yeah.
And then they figured out, and they're like, no.
Yeah, and it became known as Dilla time, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I loved, like, I got introduced to him a couple of years back, and he's got some song, not Sunshine. Is it Sunshine? I don't know. I forget what it's called, but it's just like this super chill, almost like lo-fi girl kind of track. Mm-hmm. And I found it was like repeated 8 times and just walking around listening to it. And I was like, oh. Those little rhythmic like idiosyncrasies.
I mean, I think he did the beat the closest. I don't know the exact song you're thinking of, but he did do the beat for The Light by Common. And that is a very, very like fun kind of summery song. He did a lot of great beats. I did, actually, on one of my pre-recorded shows, I think it's one of my like evergreen ones for repeat, it's J Dilla, the jazz songs that he sampled, and Q-Tip and the jazz songs that he sampled, and I just went like kind of back-to-back between them.
Oh, nice.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out next time you evergreen it up, but we got to get into some music. Okay. So coming up is Flor Laurentian's Volume 3, the first 4 tracks, and that's Fleur, Regate, Petit Matin, and Le Temps, I think. Who knows? It's French. I do my best. But here we go.
Thank you.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Extra Tonal. I'm Garen Fitzgerald, joined by Matthew from The One Note.
What's up, listeners?
Yo, how y'all doing out there? You're just listening to Flore Laurentian's Volume 3, his latest release, the first four tracks off of it. They were Flore, Regate, Petit Matin, and Le Temps. Yeah.
Great pronunciation. I'm Franching. Great pronunciation.
I'm Franching.
You're almost ready to be prime minister, being able to speak both languages.
Oui, oui, baguette. Omelette du fromage.
Sacre bleu, tabernacle, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, is that swearing?
It's tabernacle.
Oh,
but
right.
They use it as a swear word.
Oh, you cad. You can't swear on air.
Hey, par quoi?
Okay, I've exhausted all the French that I know.
Pourquoi actually is why. Just yeah. Okay, so.
No, I know that one. Right, and then a friend of mine used to say that her husband would give her a look of quoi whenever she did something just puzzling. He'd just be like, yeah,
it's the je ne sais quoi of life, you know?
Indeed, indeed. Well put, Matthew.
Merci, mon ami.
Mercy buttercups, as my mom says, but she lives in France, so she's speaking some French properly usually.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so we were just listening to some like classical mixed with synths, and so you were saying that you were hearing those ostinatos.
Yes, I was. At first I was not, I didn't know where to or listen to hear it, but then I kind of was like, oh yeah, it is just a repeated line that kind of comes in and out, and it's like underlying everything, but it's not necessarily supposed to draw your attention too far away from the rest of the music. And I kind of made that comment in conjunction with, I think it was either the second or the third one. I was like, it sounds like Creepy Witch in the Forest, but not too creepy.
Yeah, that was the third one, Petit Matin.
Yeah.
With the cello carrying that ostinato.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty interesting the way they use it. It's funny to me because it's like movie composers are all, or like film composers are all like, oh, freaking everything's Hans Zimmerfied now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they realize how far it spread.
But it's funny because when you started playing this, you had name dropped Studio Ghibli.
Oh, right. You know what? I've heard it so many different ways, but it starts with GH, and I always think Ghibli, but I think it is Ghibli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's, I was trying to figure out, like, okay, what does this remind me of? Because you'd also, when you were describing it to me, I don't know if you said it on air, you described it as whimsical as well.
Mm, yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can definitely hear that. So
the whimsy is present. Yeah, but Studio Ghibli, yeah, like the first track there with all the pizzicato and like, or maybe it was the second one, I forget which one it was, but it really felt to me like, if any of y'all have seen Laputa, the castle in the air, sky, castle in the sky, when they come through the giant tornado storm cloud thing and then they see Laputa for the first time, I was like, this could fit in there, kind of. Mm-hmm. I felt like that could fit.
The wonder.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah. Although you'd have to kick it up a notch, because that Laputa soundtrack is epic.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, yeah, okay. Sorry.
We really need to be streaming this so that people can actually see, like, the hands and the face. It's honestly, if you guys could see what I just saw, you'd be smiling, too.
Or tuning out.
I don't know. I feel like this is what your kids experience, and they're like, "No, Dad, stop! You're embarrassing us." No.
Now they do. Before they loved it, but they when they are being honest with themselves, they enjoy it as well.
Yes.
Like we're sitting around being silly, we all have a good time. But okay, I got to start talking about the next batch of songs from the same album, the same artist. This is Flore Laurentian, Volume 3, his latest release from this year, and. I felt like it was a good breaking point in, because like the album's 8 tracks long, but it's also kind of segmented in 2 parts, I feel like. Because this next part, it starts getting a little heavier, a little pluckier too, because like there's been some harp and there's been some piano in the previous tracks, but they're kind of more featured prominently in the upcoming tracks. But man, when we get to the third song, so I'm going to list out the names here. It's Fleuve 7. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Fleuve 8. And then Navigation 7 is when he does some crazy nonsense with the synth, and I was all there for it. And then, the last track actually made me think of you.
Oh.
Because there's like jazz drums in the background.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
neat. It's pretty neat. But so we're going to listen to Flore Laurentian's Volume 3, the last four tracks on the album. And that would be Fleuve 7, Fleuve 8, Navigation 7. And then the last one is A Travers les Chablis. And I butchered that one. I didn't practice that one. I only practiced the first half, I'm not going to lie.